When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another minisode. Of course, this time it's our usual listener minisode. And thank you for all the positive feedback regarding the additional minisodes we're putting in. Although we are initially just doing them for the month of Halloween, it might be something we look at continuing for season 18. As I've said since day one, this is your show, and therefore if you enjoy them, we'll keep doing them. But for now, as promised, we'll stick to doing them up until Halloween. Meaning, of course, your final additional minisode for the Halloween season will arrive on Monday. Now, of course, after season 17 ends, if you would like the extra content to continue, just let me know. Drop me an email at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And that's the same email address that you can use to start now sending your submissions for season 18. Some of you, I think, have now realised the time that we roughly ask for submissions for the following season, because we've already received quite a few. And therefore, if you have your own paranormal experience that you'd wish to share for season 18, now is definitely the time to get it in. Once again, it's contact@thedarkparanormal.com. But right now, let's jump into this week's minisode before our main episode on Friday. And this has come to us from a listener named Kirk, who writes, "Hi Kevin, my name is Kirk, hailing from the US in the Midwest. I'm a long-time listener of The Dark Paranormal, and I tune in almost exclusively on road trips or the nights that my occupation requires me to be working into the wee hours of the morning. I'd put this show up against any caffeinated drink on the planet if the goal is trying to stay awake. I want to preface this story by saying this may not be the creepiest or most disturbing. No, it doesn't involve demons, attacks or evil beings manifesting in people's dreams. It may, however, leave you with more questions than I have answers for. I'm 35 years old. Whether by sensitivity, fate or misfortune, the first half of my life was very active, paranormally speaking. That said, the last 15 years have been without any significant experiences, which I am grateful for. I find it fascinating that many of your story submitters say they've experienced the exact opposite. They often get more sensitive with age. Being a skeptical believer, my relationship with the paranormal is a complicated one, to say the least. I hold two beliefs that contradict each other. On the one hand, science hasn't definitively proved the existence of ghosts or demons, whilst on the other hand, my own extensive experiences defy logical explanation. My best friend Tom and I are somewhat strange individuals. He and I originally became close when we realised we share an affinity for outdoor recreation, video games, and difficult tasks that challenge our skill sets. Ones that force us to dig deep into our analytical minds. Back in 2008, we decided to combine our love for challenge and the outdoors by embarking in survival-style camping trips, where we would hike deep into the timber, build shelters, build friction fires, collect wild edibles and fish for food, all with as little gear as possible. Tom and I were incredibly lucky that we had an inn with Rich, the head park ranger of a state park, one that primarily specialised as an area for the use of ATVs, dirt bikes and other off-highway vehicles. Rich had an agreement with Tom and I. He would allow us to camp in his park as long as we'd done some voluntary work, which usually meant we'd done a few hours trash collecting or trail maintenance. Well, this was perfect for us because, since regardless of the arrangement, we always felt a sense of duty to leave the places we enjoyed in better condition than how we found them. The only other caveat was that once we were in the park after sunset, we were staying the night. You see, the entire park is surrounded by a barbed wire fence, typical of what you may see on a cattle ranch. The entrance was a heavily fortified parking lot with a large 8-foot steel gate surrounding it. This was in place to prevent people from trailering in their off-road vehicles at night and ultimately riding the trails, which would inevitably lead to nighttime search and rescue operations. When we camped there, Rich's nightly routine to close the park at sunset would be to turn on the parking lot lights, ensure no other vehicles were there except ours, and notify us that he was leaving via text. And ultimately, lock the massive steel barrier closed, with us, much to our enjoyment, effectively trapped inside the park. This park rapidly became our favourite spot, and it was here we made some of our most fond memories, just because of the sheer ridiculousness of the situations we placed ourselves in. You had two young men in the woods trying not to die, mere miles from the safety of civilization, all whilst discussing our favourite video games, movies, philosophical ideas, or any number of other topics that many outdoor enthusiasts would never think of, especially whilst camping back then. Sadly, our disposition for the park would not last. One thing that would always stand out was the nightly fog. The area was heavily timbered and sat adjacent to a major river, so seeing fog wasn't that much of a surprise with the typical Midwestern humidity levels. But what wasn't normal was how the fog always seemed to be alive, just beyond the veil of being sentient. In individual white and grey clouds, it would flow in the ditches, move perfectly through the trails and around the trees. It would occasionally flow right up to the campsite, but never penetrate our perimeter. All with no evident intent and with no regard to the wind. I always had a gut feeling that it had paranormal origins. But since I never felt threatened, scared, or even like I was being watched, I didn't pay it much attention, as it didn't seem to pay us attention either. At the crack of dawn, one bitterly cold winter's morning, Tom and I were sitting around the fire in our shelter, discussing what we could do to fortify it, to keep the wind from penetrating and how to ensure a much more comfortable second night, when suddenly we hear the rustling of leaves, twigs snapping from light footsteps approaching our campsite. Tom and I stepped out of the shelter and saw a buck white-tailed deer that was limping towards us. It had some blood on its right leg. After seeing us, it continued to approach, stopping around 15 feet away. It peered right into our beings, not in a threatening way, more as if it was desperately trying to convey a message, but just didn't know how to. We stared at it and it at us for what felt like a lifetime. The deer suddenly whipped its head around towards the direction it came from, then sprinted away past our campsite. A few moments later, a pack of dogs, consisting of comically varying sizes and breeds, came prancing by the campsite, apparently following the scent of the deer. Tom and I clutched our sidearms in anticipation that they may attack us. They gave us one look, but then kept heading in the same direction as the deer. We waited around all morning to see if the dog's owner ever showed, but no one came. Come to think of it, we didn't see a single collar on any of those dogs that would signify they were someone's pets. Truthfully, I'm not entirely sure the deer encounter was even paranormal, but it was one of the most spiritual experiences I've ever had. It perfectly encapsulated the park's mysterious atmosphere and ambience. Tom and I seemingly had a full-blown conversation with a deer, yet not a word was spoken. It was asking for our help as it was being hunted by a pack of what I assume were wild dogs. Now, I'm a deer hunter myself, and my profession is in wildlife conservation. So to say I have an above-average understanding of deer behaviour would be an understatement. Mature deers always run away from anything that can pose a threat to them, especially humans. About 6 months after the deer incident, when the weather was much more favourable, we invited some friends out for a camping weekend. This was less of a survival-style trip, and much closer to a let's-have-some-drinks-around-the-fire type of trip. About 11 p.m, one of our friends, Tyler, noted that our alcohol supply was quickly drying up. I've got a bottle of whiskey in the car. We can share that, he chimed in. But I don't know the way and can't navigate through the woods by myself. So all eight of us decided to make an adventure out of it and hike the mile-long trek back to the parking lot. Our group was made up of outdoorsmen and women who were all gifted with reasonably good natural night vision. Paired with it being a rather brightly moonlit night, we decided to walk with our torches off. Whilst making our way through the trails, we reached a clearing of the timber that opened up into a field, one which hosted a dirt bike racing track. Suddenly, I bumped into the back of Tyler, who was leading the group, and had abruptly stopped. "Who the hell is that?" he said, whilst pointing at something 75 yards away in the open field. We all see this humanoid, shadowy figure moving from our left to the right towards the same woodline where our campsite is. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, and your retirement. If you're anything like me, you would have believed you need a degree or you need some expert knowledge and a load of money before you invest, but it's just not true. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. They then automatically invest your money for you. And now Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. And that extra money for your retirement. Acorns has allowed me to look back at my past at times when I've thought, investment isn't for people like me. And although now I'm a huge fan of Acorns, I just wish they existed 25 years ago when I first started earning money. Because by having the wrong perception that investment isn't for people like me, I've not given my money the chance to grow. But that's something, even at this point in life, I'm going to make right. So why don't you head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
The figure was jet black and lacked any transparency, unlike the normal fog we were used to. Each step it took was clearly visible, although it looked like it was animated in slow motion. Yet it was moving at a normal walking pace. We watched intently as it traversed an adjacent trail. Then it appeared to kneel down behind a small bush, where we lost sight of it. In unison, we started running towards it, turning on our torches and finding absolutely nothing. "Okay, that wasn't creepy at all," joked another friend. "This marks the first time I ever noticed any of the fog actually showing some sign of intelligence or intent." It shocked me, because until we ran towards its last seen location, I was convinced we were looking at an actual person. Tom later made a comment to me that he was sure he saw a separate one on the trail following us, but he didn't want to sound the alarm until he felt threatened. Upon hearing this revelation, it hit me that during that time, I was subconsciously suppressing an eerie feeling of the hairs on my neck standing up, that all too familiar sensation of being watched, but unsure from where or by who or by what. After another 15 minutes, we reached the top of a small hill that gave a clear view to the parking lot. I am now at the front of the group, and we're roughly 150 yards from where our vehicles are. "Hold up," I hollered back as I raised a fist in the air, signalling for the group to stop. We saw the distinct signature of bright taillights on a vehicle facing away from us, parked and relatively close to our vehicles. I decided to shoot Rich a text to see if he was maybe working late. I waited a few moments and received no reply. "All right, that's really weird," I said. "Well, who the hell's vehicle is that? And more importantly, how did they get in since we're the last people in here?" asked another friend. From the small hill we were stopped on, we had to cross a valley, then climb up another small hill to end up at the final stretch of the trail, before entering the parking lot. We do so, and at this point, our group's about 70 yards from this unknown car. I then noticed it appeared to be an old, blacked-out, beat-up, 1970s or earlier, four-door sedan. Now I'm starting to really worry, thinking that somehow someone's managed to get inside the gate and was trying to loot the contents of our vehicles. We cautiously walked closer. About 50 yards away from it, we are now approaching swiftly from the rear, with the intention of confronting whoever was inside and asking some questions. When suddenly, the vehicle began spinning its tires, kicking up dust and speeding off, ploughing through the steel barrier. It then makes a sharp turn onto the highway, never to be seen again. And all of this without making a sound, without leaving treadmarks, without the smell of fumes or even damaging the gate. All six of our friends are visibly disturbed, trying to process what in the actual world just happened to us. We began passing around that bottle of whiskey we came for. Meanwhile, Tom and I gave each other a nod, paired with a "we're in for a long night" awkward smile, knowing damn well we just witnessed a ghost car. I don't think any one of us got a lick of sleep that night. We stayed up recounting the event over and over again. From that night, and every other time we camped there, we never looked at the park the same again. There was a palpable change in its energy. It always felt like it had intentions, but ones that were never made clear. While the lighter and greyer fog was ever present every night and continued to not engage, sightings of the darker shadows now became more frequent. They became bolder, showing themselves more often and sometimes closer. A new phenomenon that emerged would be hearing the chirping of owls, crickets, frogs, and other critters. Then abruptly the entire forest would go dead quiet, and the hairs on our necks would shoot up immediately, followed by the sound of faint whispering or whimpering just out of earshot. Some months after seeing the car, Tom, two other friends and I decided to have a weekend gateway at the park, late into the night. Tom and I were sitting around the fire when our other friends appeared from the trails and began berating us for trying to scare them on their night hike. Now, whilst we absolutely love pulling pranks, the problem was Tom and I never left that campsite whilst they were out. They claim that with heavy footsteps, we kept running up behind them, stopping about an arm's length away, and then we would disappear back into the timber without saying a word. If it wasn't us, then who was it? Did the car mark the point in which our senses were heightened, or was it a sign that we were no longer welcome? Friedrich Nietzsche said, "If you gaze long into the abyss also gazes into you." Although in the context of the full quote, he was talking about maintaining your humanity when confronting evil, I think it can be loosely applied here. The park exposed its dark nature to us. And ironically, we were the ones feeling exposed the more we tried to zero in on its agenda. Perhaps the car and the fog were completely unrelated to one another, and the park just happened to be some paranormal hotspot. Regardless, what was once an inviting place to make memories at, all of a sudden, being out there at night by ourselves presented a different challenge that Tom and I were unprepared for and, frankly, hesitant to face. Rich ended up transferring to a different park a year or so later, and I don't believe we ever told him of our incident, in an effort to protect the positive opinion he had of us and our arrangement. Sadly, his replacement revoked our camping privileges, so we never stayed there again. I have since visited the park a few times in daylight, and I've never had anything strange happen there. All these years later, I still have so many questions about that park, the fog, and especially the car. Was it, as they say, the manifestation of some sort of residual haunting? Was there some horrible accident involving that car? How was it able to interact with and kick up the dust it was sitting on, but not the parking lot barrier? We surely will never know. I would ask those who hear this to fight the urge to assume we were just a bunch of drunks who couldn't recount the events properly. At the time of this story, Tom didn't even drink, but greatly enjoyed the company of those who did. I'll conclude this by saying that Tom is with me every single day, but only in memory. He fought a long, hard battle with his mental health that ultimately got the better of him. He was a wild man with a big heart and a ravenous appetite for adventure, someone who pushed me to step outside my comfort zone. Furthermore, please seek out help if you are struggling, and cherish the time you have with your loved ones. When originally writing this, I had changed the names, but after letting it simmer in my heart, I believe Tom would appreciate being honoured this way, as we always shared an interest for all things paranormal. Thank you, Kevin, your friend from the Midwest, Kirk. Well, thank you, Kirk, and I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend, Tom. I'm sincerely grateful that you kept the names authentic and real in order to honour Tom in such a way. That's a privilege and an honour for this show. And, of course, I will reiterate your message that if anyone is struggling with their mental health in any way, shape or form, do be sure to speak to someone immediately, be it a friend, family member, or a medical professional. The biggest mistake you can make is to think that people won't want to listen and that people don't care. They do. So Kirk, thank you so much for providing this week's minisode. You were right from the start. It does leave more questions than we will ever have answers for. And our sincere condolences for the loss of what sounds like a truly great friend. And so here we'll wrap up Kirk's amazing experience of battling your rational senses and what you're physically experiencing. It's certainly a brave person who tries to give a logical explanation to what you've just described. And so, until Friday, stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.